Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into studio someone who's been here a number of times, George Cullum from the Palmer Golf Course. Welcome, George.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You look you look comfortable. You're dressed in shorts, short sleeve shirt, got a hat on there. Your body shows signs of perhaps being in the sun a little bit. Those listeners who are have been out and about at all know that the weather has been spectacular here this last week or so. Has this been a good thing for the golf course?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We still get down in the 30s at night, so it kind of has been slowing down a little bit of the growth, the grass. But yesterday the temperature got up in the high 60s there, and we really noticed a change in the trees around the golf course and even the trees around Palmer. But we're starting to see the grass really green up. We got our irrigation system going, and it's making a big difference with the heat right now. So hopefully it just keeps getting warmer. And I know they're expecting pretty good weather through the weekend. So we've been really busy. So it's been nice.
So, Jeff, earlier today, I talked about Jeff Lowenfeld's article that appeared as he provides a column in the Alaska Dispatch News. And he was talking about lawns. Now, you have possibly the largest lawn in Palmer. And he pointed out that of all the things that could be done early on in the season to ensure that your lawn or course will look good, it was water.
Yeah, water is definitely the key for us. That soil at the golf course is very sand-based, and it doesn't hold the moisture very long. It is great for growing, but it needs a lot of water. So getting our irrigation system started in the beginning of every summer is always a challenge. Coming out of winter, even though we blow all the irrigation lines as free from the water as we can, we still have to deal with a little bit of the residual water in the lines. And we still have we probably have about 20% of our irrigation system still with some ice in the lines blocking some of the heads. So, we pull the guts out of the heads and try to clear the ice through those. But sometimes it's still jammed up for a while. And I've seen it go into even mid-June before when things got really – the ground got frozen really deep. And so right now, though, it looks pretty good. I mean, I'm pretty happy. We've got water to every green and most fairways and tees, so it's been good.
So an irrigation system, this is an underground system, I'm guessing.
It is an underground system, and, Alaska is probably not the best place for underground irrigation just because of how deep the frost can go. But, at a golf course, it's really nice to have all the irrigation underground so it doesn't interfere with golf.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, and when you say don't interfere with golf, I'm thinking you probably water or irrigate in the evenings or during the night, or how does that work?
Well, we irrigate right now all day, because we're still playing catch up, trying to get the golf course greened up and lush. And so we have radios and we can go around and operate all the sprinklers off of a handheld radio. You just punch in a code and you identify the heads that you want to turn on. But when we get the system all fully functional, it goes automated on a computer. So it'll water twice at night. It'll water once late evening and then once early morning the next morning. So we don't, at that point, we don't really have to think about it too much. It just kind of does its thing. We just have to monitor it and make sure that, all the heads are working and we don't have any broken pipes or, heads that are broken. So, but it just, once it gets to that point, everything is programmed for the optimal amount of water for the golf course. When we had that new irrigation system put in, the people that did it, they programmed the computer to figure out what's the best way to use the water the most efficiently. And when it goes fully automated, it really makes a difference at the golf course.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, you adjust this. We sometimes have rainy periods of time, and I'm guessing you accommodate for that. If you're going to have a series of rainy days, then your irrigation doesn't have to be as strong.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really simple. We actually just press an icon on the computer screen that shows that we don't want it to water, and it'll stop it for that next cycle or until we turn it back on. So it's really simple.
Okay. Now, another point that Jeff Lowenfels made about personal lawns that people have around their houses he suggests that the best thing to do is just cut mulch. Do not try to pick up grass. I'm guessing, given the volume that you have, that you do that same kind of thing. Is that true? What kind of blades or cutting that happens to, and what happens to all the grass that's cut?
Well, there's several different parts of a golf course that you mow. You have your greens, of course, which are probably the most important part of the golf course, which everybody is really excited by. You know, if the greens are good, everybody wants to play golf, and they love a good putting surface. So with those, you have to pick up your grass clippings.
Okay.
You don't want the debris all over the greens. Sure. It would interfere with the putting. So when we use our mowers, whether it's a triplex mower that has three reels or a single walk-behind mower, they all have a basket, and they catch the grass clippings, and then we just dump those off the greens. So and sometimes we'll use those grass clippings in some weak areas on the golf course that might need a little bit more, you know, whether it's fertilizer that's mixed into the grass or whatever. So sometimes we will be able to reuse those. But then when we cut our roughs and our fairways, we do not pick up the grass clippings. Okay. We have reel mowers for the fairways, and a reel mower is just like, it looks sort of like the old fashioned mowers that just had a series of blades, and you pushed it and it spun, and you know, it cut the grass. And then we have rotary decks, which we use to mow the roughs. And the rotary decks, there's a couple different kinds. There's mulching ones, and then there's ones that have some kind of a debris escape. So they're either a side ejection or rear ejection. But yeah, we don't pick up all those grass clippings because it's a lot.
So there's some discussion that goes around about how tall grass should be in a lawn and how often you cut it. And I think the rule of thumb in the past was you didn't want to cut more than a third of the grass or something of that sort. How do you judge the height of the grass? I know the greens are one thing. They're short, mm-hmm. but the rest of the course.
Well, with golf, it depends on the kind of grass you're growing. You know, in warm climates where they grow Bermuda roughs, they try to keep their roughs down probably around an inch and a half, no more than 2 inches for most golf, because that kind of grass is very thick and wiry, and the ball settles down, and it makes it almost impossible to play out of. We use nugget in our fairways and on our tees and in our roughs, and which is also mixed with red fescue. And that kind of grass is also very thick, so if it's getting a lot of water, it can become very difficult to play out of. So we try to maintain our roughs at about 2 inches, and you know, when we try to mow those roughs every couple times a week to maintain them. But as everybody knows, in Alaska, things grow really fast. So if you mow your roughs at 2 inches and come back 5 days later to mow them again, they could be 4 inches thick, so or deep. So it's really important to have a constant routine of mowing. We actually just got two new rough mowers. One's called a Toro 4500. And the other one is a Toro 328. And the 4500 is a 5-deck gang mower, which we've never had anything that large for mowing roughs, and we really need it. So we're really excited. They actually just came in yesterday, so we'll start putting those into the fleet and start using those right now, because everything's growing. The roughs are starting to get thick and a little deep. So the fairways, we mow those down to a half inch. And that sounds pretty low, but on a golf course, a half inch isn't really that low. I mean, that's kind of a normal right. fairway cut. We do that on our tee boxes also. And then when our greens, right now our greens are cut at a quarter, which is kind of long for a golf course. But coming out of winter and trying to grow grass, we don't want to shock it. So pretty soon we'll drop the mower blades down so it'll cut to about an eighth. And then we'll go a little bit lower as we get the greens really healthy and things warm up as we go into the tournament season.
Okay, the last piece of discussion typically around lawns is whether you put any fertilizer on. So what about the big lawn of the golf course?
Yes, we do fertilize. We use our first application of fertilizer will be on our greens, and we're going to use a liquid fertilizer. So we have a spray rig. It's like a small tanker truck for golf courses. And, you know, we'll liquid fertilize the greens first. So it just sprays it down. It that type of fertilizer doesn't need a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of fertilizers, if you put down pellet fertilizer, it can really burn the grass. So
right.
it's important that when you fertilize, you water right after, especially with pellet fertilizer. So once we get our liquid fertilizer down, it'll give the grass a little bit of food, and then we'll start to see a change in the color of the grass. It'll get a little richer, darker green, and things will grow even faster. And then pretty soon we'll start fertilizing tees and fairways, and we'll use pellet fertilizer for that. And that's a big project. We have a, you know, you pull it behind a tractor and there's a big hopper and it spreads the fertilizer, and it takes probably 2 to 3 days to do the whole golf course, you know, with that. So, but it's really important this time of year to get some fertilizer down because the grass is hungry. It needs food.
Okay. Okay. Do you ever do any soil testing of any part of that course?
We do occasionally. We've had soil. We don't do it in-house. We actually send it out.
Oh, sure. Right.
So whenever we've done it, and we don't do it a whole lot, but whenever if we see we're having a problem somewhere, you know, we can pull a sample and it can be sent to, you know, University of Washington. And I know the UAF Agricultural Center out here has done some of that too. So, yeah, it is important to occasionally test your soil.
Okay. Yeah, well, we've been checking to see, because there's been a reduction in the actual soil testing done in state. So what you say about sending to the University of Washington and other places seems to be the way to go. It's just we're going to be talking about that in more detail about soil testing. But so it sounds like you have a very comprehensive program for getting this large lawn into shape.
Yeah, it's a big task. And it's always a challenge, you know. Like I said, in Alaska, things grow really fast. You'll go from, wow, is it ever going to start growing, to, oh my gosh, it's growing out of control, and we really got to get on to mowing it. But we've been staffing up, and we pretty much have all our maintenance staff in place, and they've been working hard on, you know, we've just recently overseeded greens. We pulled the tarps off the greens along the river, and the tarps protect the greens from ice and from some of the silt that comes off the river from when we have the windstorms, and the course looks great. I'm really excited. Grass is green. It's really changing. And the last week has been amazing how much it's changed. And also when you start mowing, you start to break up some of that old grass and get the thatch out, and things really turn green. Like if you mow your yard right now, you'll notice it'll go from probably brown to green and immediately. It just changes.
Mm-hmm. So is the course pretty much fully open at the present time? And when we say open, what are the hours of operation?
Right now we're open from 8 to 9, and starting this weekend we'll be 8 to 10. 10's our normal summer closing time. We usually, in the main summer, will be open at 7 a.m., and it's still been really kind of cold in the mornings, and honestly nobody's really been knocking our door down or calling to go out at 7 a.m., so Memorial weekend, we'll go to full hours. We'll go 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. And, but for now it'll be 8 to 10.
So, 8 to 10.
Yeah, we're pretty close to full hours.
Okay. I had in passing by noted in the afternoon, a number of people were out there playing. What kind of numbers are you seeing? Are any sense of that as an early start to the season, in particular in comparison to other years?
The weekends have been very busy. You know, the weekdays have been a little bit slow, but it's all really weather dependent. You know, if you have we've had kind of a cold stretch of weather through April into this part of May until just recently. We've had a few nice days, but it's been really inconsistent. You know, we've had some windy days and some cold, cloudy days. But I noticed that in the last few days with the sun coming out and getting a little warmer, we really got busy. The numbers really started increasing. But you know, last year we opened the course on March 6th, and we started so much earlier, and it was, people get excited, you know, to get out and get in the sun and go outside and do something like golf, which they hadn't, you know, a lot of people don't travel. They hadn't done in a while. And so, but I would say that, you know, we're probably close to an average start, you know, for this time of year.
Okay. Okay. We also like when you come in to talk about the events that are coming up. I know that you have some starting fairly soon. These are tournaments and other events that attract a large number of people. Talk about what's happening in the relatively near future.
Well, next week on Wednesday, the 17th, we have the U.S. Open qualifier, and every state has local qualifiers. And if a person wins that qualifier, they can go to a regional qualifier, And they can pick one of their choice. A lot of the guys from here, if they win, they'll go to Washington State and they'll do the qualifier there. And if you get through that qualifier, and usually on those qualifiers, you got to be in like maybe the top three finishers in those. And then you go directly to the U.S. Open, which is, you know, one of the biggest tournaments anywhere. It's a major. So, and we have our qualifier on Wednesday. It starts at 11:30. And, you know, we got some of the best players in the state, some local pros, and even some pros from outside the state coming to try to qualify.
You know, that leads me to the interesting, I just first thought of this. I know watching golf on TV, when you have large tournaments, you have people watching the golf being played. Are there situations where you will have an audience for play here at the Palmer Golf Course?
Occasionally, you know, in some of our bigger tournaments, we will have some people come out and watch. I think a lot of people aren't really sure where they should go on the golf course when they're spectating. So, but a lot of times the spectators will just walk with the certain groups, like they have their favorites and or their friends that are playing. So they'll just follow them around the golf course and kind of stay off to the side. It's not quite like you'd see on TV where you have a major PGA event and you've got thousands of people watching. But sometimes we'll have a few hundred out watching an event. Like this U.S. Open qualifier, there probably won't be a whole lot of, you know, spectators. It's in the middle of the week. And, you know, really golf in Alaska isn't the first priority of activities up here. So, you know, it's not like Phoenix, Arizona, or California or Florida, where you have so many avid golfers that they would come out for, you know, to spectate more. But, you know, and then some, besides the U.S. Open qualifier, in early June, we have the Palmer Scramble, which is benefiting high school hockey, Palmer High School Hockey, you know, a fundraiser for that. And you can call over to the golf course to find out more about that. We also have Palmer Elks coming up in early June, and that's always a fun scramble. So, and then we have the Alaska State Match Play at the end of June. And that's one of the big major state tournaments. And we've been hosting that for the last 3 years. And then as we go through the summer, we have, you know, other tournaments. Some are charity tournaments, like Hope is in July, and that's a fundraiser for Hope Community Resources. And then we have our big Palmer Invitational Pro-Am, which is the largest pro-am in the state. And we'll get pros from outside Alaska. Some are even coming from other countries, like from Ireland or from Canada, things like that. So, and then as we have tournaments throughout the whole summer, it's quite a bit of tournaments on the schedule, but we try to find a balance between tournaments and regular play. So,
sure. Okay.
But there's a lot going on.
You've used a term here that I know that if a person golfs, they understand what it means, but others listening may not. Scramble. What is that all about?
Scramble is a team event that is used in a lot of fundraiser tournaments. What it does is everybody tees off from the same place, basically. They start on the tee box, and as a team, you go to the best shot. So if one person hits a good drive down the middle of the fairway and everybody else hits it in the woods, everybody gets to pick up their ball and go play from the best shot. And you do that until you finish the hole. So it's more of a team-oriented thing. And this also allows people who aren't maybe avid golfers or the best golfers to still have a fun day. And, you know, because you're always getting to play from the best shot. So it makes it fun. And as a team of four, you'd only have the one score for your team score for each hole. So, you know, if you make a birdie on a par four, which is a three, on a par four, that would be your team score. And then, you know, and scrambles are really popular for fundraiser events because it gets more golfers who may not feel comfortable playing an individual stroke play tournament, you know, to come out and play.
Okay. Well, here's, maybe this is an odd question. Maybe you thought about this before, but I'm thinking, okay, a golf bag often has many clubs in it of all sorts, with different numbers, 5, 7, et cetera. If you could only have three clubs to take, what three clubs would you bring with you?
Well, interesting enough, there are tournaments like that where you can only have three clubs in your bag. So, and there's a lot of strategy to it. So I would probably take a driver, a 7-iron and a putter. that's my personal preference of what I would do, because when you're trying to play different shots from different lengths, you know, and you got to look at the golf course you're playing too. Are you playing a really short golf course? Because if you're playing a really short golf course, you might just take a driver and maybe a pitching wedge or something, you know. If you're playing a really long golf course, you might take, you know, a driver, a five iron, and a putter. Some people won't choose to take a putter. They'll putt with their driver, or they'll putt with their wedge if they take a wedge. So there's a lot of strategy to it. You just got to kind of know your game and what are your strengths and weaknesses. And, you know, for me, I hit my driver very well. And a seven iron would be a good club that I could use on a lot of different shots, whether it's chipping near the greens when you're just off the green, or, you know, hitting from as far as 160 yards out. And then, of course, a putter is nice because when you're on the green, you know, it really helps to have a putter. So,
do we ever do a three-club tournament?
I know the men's club does. We have a Palmer men's club, and they do that. And occasionally a tournament will come to the golf course and do something like that. But in-house, we haven't done anything like that. We run our Midnight Sun tournament, and that's just a two-person scramble. And a lot of people are kind of turned off by the three-club thing. You know, they don't like it. They want to use all their clubs. But I think, you know, the more avid golfers, the golfers that play a whole lot and want to change it up and make it more interesting, they really like that kind of format.
Okay. So last question, food. I know there's food available at the golf course. What kind of food is available these days?
Well, we have a snack bar, and so we're not a full service restaurant, but we do hot dogs, chili, soup, sandwiches, and then other like pre-made things, like maybe breakfast burritos that we can microwave and things like that. But it's not a regular full-service restaurant. We do have beer and wine and malt-type beverages because we don't have a full liquor license. We have a beer and wine liquor license, so that limits some of what we can serve.
Okay.
And we have a snack shack out on the ninth hole so people can get hot dogs and sandwiches and snacks out there.
Okay.
And we got a good assortment of beverages, so whether adult beverages or soft drinks, we have a lot.
Okay. All right. Well, George, I've asked a lot of questions. Any last comments before we finish up? We're just about done here.
Well, it's looking like we're going to have a really busy weekend. And if you don't have a tee time and you want to play this weekend, you should call over to the golf course. Our number is 745-4653. And, you know, it's always disappointing if you come to play golf and you get to the golf course and we're so full you can't get out on the golf course. So it's important to make reservations, make a tee time. And, you know, if you have any questions about upcoming events, you can always check our website. It's www.palmergolfcourse.com, or you can just call the golf shop. And yeah, hope to see everybody out playing golf, enjoying the weather.
All right. Yeah, that's the right time, the right weather. Well, thank you, George, for coming in and talking about the Palmer Golf Course. We'll probably have you back a little bit later as the season progresses.